accession number 20456, Real 6.
Brigadier Wilson, Real 6. I was asking you where the crews for the flotilla came from.
Well, there were, in that area, there was a great deal of local steamship traffic, whether it was paddle steamer, screw steamer, and it depended largely on the various flotillas. I mean, particularly in Burma, if you get the big problem in Burma. And so there were plenty of seamen who they could get hold of, and plenty of young Calcutta businessmen who they could give temporary missions to in the Navy. No problem. Who knew the area? If they didn't know it, they soon found out.
What did you actually do to prepare your report? Did you actually sort of go round all these places on
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I had a lovely, amongst other things, and one said, a lovely rail trolley with people that sort of pushed it and
rattled down the inspector's trolley.
One rattled down the jungle lines to, you know, see a particular station. And I had a bedding rail, you would stay the night at the station, maybe go on the next day in a goods train or an express train. I learned all about how to drive a railway engine, which I can tell you.
That is every small boy's dream, isn't it?
Marvellous. It was great
drive
fun.
An engine.
Great fun.
Had you been interested in railways before?
Oh, yes. Loved it.
Could that have had something to do with your selection for this job?
I wouldn't have thought so. I think that was just a name out of the hat.
No. Just luck?
No.
What sort of capacity did you think the system had for moving troops around? Did you have to make an estimate of how many troops could be moved?
Yes, I did. But, I mean, I have to say, I totally forget it now. Mm. 2 years later, when America was ready in the war, they came and took over the whole of the East Bengal system and ran it American way, which meant all sorts of Davy Jones crashes, as you know, but never mind, they bumped up. You see, it was a vital bloody railway for the Stillwell supply, not the Stillwell supplies, the hump supplies.
Yes.
Vital.
But, I mean, at this time, we were running it, weren't we? It was run by the...
Oh, yes, very much. It was run by our own railway boards, yes.
So...
And what is more, you see, you had all sorts of horrors there, because you had change of gauge and change of railway board. You had the Bengal and the Assam and East Bengal Railway. And at one stage, they didn't talk to each other.
How was that matter resolved?
Well, I think someone knocked their heads together or shot some bosses, I don't know.
Was there any sort of authority put over these railway companies by the military headquarters to coordinate their
action? Oh, eventually, yes.
Action?
Eventually, when the Americans came in, there very much was, yes.
Not before then?
I don't think so. And it was very sort of independent-minded in the way it went about its things. I mean, the East Indian Railway, the great railway between Delhi and Calcutta, rather prided itself by being rather like the Great Western Railway in this country, you know. God's wonderful railway, you know. And anyone else, a pretty small mirror.
That sounds as though they had a strong sense of company pride.
Oh, yes, they were very good.
Mm. You mentioned in your memoirs that there was a certain amount of terrorism going on in that part of India at the time. There have been
Yes, it had died down, I think, by then. Yes, the old magistrate was shot, but basically speaking, the terrorism, the East Bengal terrorism, I think, reached its peak in about 35, 36. I may be wrong on that one.
Did you find that it affected your activities at all?
The what?
Did it affect your
no.
life at all?
No, not a bit. Well, one was suggesting I was really part of the railway system, you see, who looked after me.
Do you know what the motives of these terrorists were? the Bengali.
Oh, yes, Free Bangladesh. Is there a book on top there called something Viceroy? Yeah.
The Viceroy at Bay.
That's it. Well, that might give a date or two on Bengal terrorism. Where are we? It Bengal doesn't say, does it? What's about Bengal? Doesn't say. ST. No, it doesn't. There's nothing about terrorism. I know it comes in here, because of course I read the book. But it was much more early 1930s. By the time the war came, it had simmered down a bit.
To whom did you report when you put in your...
The what?
To whom did you report when you put in your information about the railway system? Was it to GHQ India or to...
No, it's my local general.
Yes.
Local general and what they called it in those days, Eastern Army, which eventually became 14th Army.
So you had a happy month exploring the railway.
Oh, yes.
Paris, and what did they do with you after that? What was the next
step? I was recalled, suddenly told, to go to Pune and join 2nd Division as training officer. And I never heard of 2nd Division. They'd come out from England and had arrived in India in April 42, and no one knew very much what to do with them. There hadn't really been a complete British division in India ever before. And clearly they were certainly not trained to go into the jungle. But so what they built up was an amphibious corps, say three corps, and the idea was to pay the Japanese out in their own coin by landing forces sort of behind our lines, particularly down the coast of Bengal going to Burma. And so we started training. The trouble was there was a shortage of landing craft worldwide. And just as we were about to plan any operation, the landing craft was swept off to somewhere else.
Well, this was round about the same time as the landings in the Mediterranean being...
Landings where?
In the Mediterranean.
Indeed, very much so.
And then Salerno.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There simply were not enough landing craft to go around.
Now, you mentioned in your memoirs that this division, the 2nd Division, came from a different world.
Oh, it did.
What were the striking and outstanding differences about them?
Well, you're sort of back home again. They did things the British way rather than the Indian way. An Indian army was a bloody good army. It was a marvellous army, but it had its own way of working. And since 1937, I got used to it. One suddenly got into a totally British environment with all the differences that made.
What were these essential differences from the Indian way of working?
We were much more efficient. The Indians were very efficient in their own way, but they they tended to work at their own time, and also, in some ways, to their own convenience. After it was their country, they had the right to live in it. Why not? 2nd Division were total visitors, and they said, now look, this is the way we're going to do things.
Did Did they eventually adjust and adopt a more Indian way of doing things, or did they always remain?
Well, of course, they had to adjust quite a bit. But no, in the long run, we never adjusted to that extent, no.
You also mentioned that General Grover was a very efficient and active man.
Marvellous chap, yes.
What were his main concerns when you first encountered him? What was?
Well, I think his main concern was that his division should not be frittered away and misused. Now, in the case of 70 Div, which had come from the Middle East, that had been taken up to Ranchi, and a very experienced British division, and had been broken up for Chindits. Well, there's still an argument going on as to whether the Chindits really were his or not. I think they were. But
did you know about the Chindits at the time?
Yes.
Do you remember what you thought about the idea of Chindits at the time?
Well, I have a very great friend called Bernard Ferguson, who became Governor General of New Zealand. And Bernard rather tried to encourage me to join the Chindits. But John Grover and co. said, "Do you know, for God's sake, leave them alone, you know." And I'm very glad they did. It was a super idea. But the idea that you could beat the Japanese by being Chindits was nonsense, because you had eventually to fight the Japanese on their own ground, you know, with their own weapons and murder them. And just pinpricks would not do that. And although the Chindits did a most valuable job, incredibly valuable job, they were never going to win the Burmese War as Wingate, you know, tried to put across to Churchill and co. that they could.
So they couldn't bring about a decision. They couldn't bring a result.
They
could not bring about a decision.
No. No. I mean, they performed incredible feats, and they did things that other people could not have done. But it was a sideshow compared with what was really going on.
Some of the critics of Chindits have said that, in principle, they were a good idea, but they were too much of a good thing, and they diverted too many resources that could have been used better elsewhere.
None more so than Bill Sim, you see, who said it was ridiculous that if a chap could climb a tree, he had to be given a special green beret. So, you know, really, they couldn't do all that much more that ordinary soldiers couldn't do, given the training. Like the parachutist, after all, once a parachute soldier is on the ground, he's just the same as any other soldier.
Except that he's not as well supported, usually.
Except he's not as well supported. And except he has all the business of jumping out of an aeroplane, which isn't all that much fun anyway.
Some of them seem to enjoy it.
I've done it. I can't say I enjoyed it. I mean, it gives you a tremendous feeling of euphoria, yes, yes. But I wouldn't go and jump out of aeroplanes every day for fun, but there are people who do.
So General Grover then was concerned that he might, presumably his division might be broken up, and so on. You say that he was a man who was very particular, you know.
Oh, meticulous, yes.
Yes. What sort of things attracted his attention in that way, particularly?
Well, if you did anything for him, it had to be absolutely spot on, you know. timing, content, you name it. He'd come and probably watch the dress rehearsal or rest for that, but he will not have any form of what you might call sloppiness of getting away with, well, we managed away with that one, didn't we, you know? I've never forgotten one of his great remarks. What is the meaning of this intolerable delay, you know? Oh, he could say. But he, I think, I think the way he was sacked from 14th Army was sad, but I have, most of us, all of us who knew him and admired him, said we didn't think somehow that he was really a corps commander who has to stand back from the battle and, you know, sort of look at the big picture. And he got too involved with his own men.
Do you think then he was an ideal divisional commander? Was that a good level for him?
Yes, superdivisional commander. Yes, 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 yes. I think that was his probably his level. God save me for saying so, but I think that was right.
What were you doing for him then? Once you arrived at 2nd Division, and what did they want you to do?
They wanted us to take over all the jungle training, which we did. That is to say, one sort of found the areas, wrote the exercises, unfound the exercises, you know, found out what they could do, what they couldn't do.
Did any of them have any of the necessary skills for jungle warfare when they arrived? Or were you starting from scratch?
No, we were starting from scratch.
So what, if you were starting from scratch with soldiers who had good training and had some battle experience, what additional skills would you be trying to inculcate in them for jungle warfare?
Oh, well, I think the first thing is night. The British soldier, well, none of us now are brought up in this country, we're in the dark. Never see it. We do. In the dark's very odd when you see it. The second thing is noise. We have lost our sense of hearing to a certain extent. And the other thing is smell. And these are very sort of basic, you know, animal-like characteristics, if you can call them that. But unless, I mean, there was no question about it, the Japanese smelt different than we did. You could smell the Japanese if they'd been in a position or if they'd passed down the track. And this business of night fighting is not easily taught.
How does it differ from fighting in the light, then? What?
Well, you're on your own. You're very susceptible to noises made by the enemy. You're very susceptible. You're quite certain that there is something there that you've got to shoot at, you know, which you mustn't do. I mean, another story of 268 Lorry's Infantry Brigade who came to Garrison Hill at Kohima and relieved, I forget who, and the next night an absolute firework display went up over the hotels. And not one dead Japanese was seen anywhere. And John Grover sent for the brigadier, Bertie Dyer, and said, "Brigadier, that was the most disgraceful performance last night, you know. Make quite certain it will never happen again," you see. Whereupon Bertie Dyer was absolutely sweet. He said, "Oh, General," he said, "I do hope it won't, but you know you don't understand 268 Lorry's Infantry Brigade, do you?" And this is all the difference in your highly trained guy who sits in his foxhole, he may be frightened as the rest of them, but does not let off until he is certain that he has killed someone.
How far could you actually see at night in the jungle? Did you have any vision?
Oh, it depends. Like everything else, depends on the state of the moon. You will see very far, just as far as you can anywhere, but full moon. Trouble about that is that you then start hallucinating. Oh. You think you're seeing things that you're not really seeing.
Is there anything you can do to train soldiers to overcome these difficulties?
Very much so you can. You make damn certain that you take them out as often as you can and train them by night.
Is that the only way of doing it then, just endless practice?
Well, there's no other way. Mm. I mean, you can talk to them, you can tell them, you can explain what is going to happen to them, but they've got to get accustomed to it themselves. Once they're accustomed to themselves, no problem.
Roughly how long does it take to get soldiers used to operating at night on that basis? You're starting with them.
If you have a trained soldier, I'm not talking about a guy from a recruit.
Yes.
You need to train him as a squad with his other sort of seven guys. I would think a couple of weeks.
What sort of level of training were you doing? Were you going up to squad level, or were you going beyond?
Right up to battalion level.
Battalion level.
Oh yeah, mm. And brigade level.
And brigade level.
Yeah. Mm. You know the story of the wireless sets at Goa. There were three German freighters who had sought sanctuary at Goa since the beginning of the war. But they had three great sets. And they were in international waters. And they were broadcasting British shipping movements to German submarines. And it was decided this was stopped. And how to do it? Well, they got hold of a whole lot of very brave characters in the Calcutta Scottish, were
Tell me about the Calcutta Scottish.
These guys were territorials, and they volunteered, and they got hold of a barge. They sailed it all the way around the coast, right round Trincomalee to Goa, with people armed to the teeth, who had been discharged from the army. They were people, you know, the British said, you know, if anything had gone wrong with them, bad luck.
They were civilians.
And, yes, total civilians. It so happened we were down, 2nd Division, in that part of the world, at a place near Goa, and we put on a big exercise, whole brigade group with tanks, going straight for the Goan frontier. And, of course, the Goan police thought, Christ, you know, the British are on us. Rang up. So the whole of Goa was looking inland. In the meantime, these guys came in their barges and threw the ships up. They never got a medal for it. Nothing. Brilliant.
Did you have any anything to do with the Goanese at all during?
No, I mean, we were not allowed inside the boundary.
Presumably, that was because it was still Portuguese territory, so neutral.
It was Portuguese territory, yes. No, the main roads that went along the Londo went along the side.
When you were doing the jungle training, when you said you were doing it up to battalion brigade level, what sort of things were you doing? Were you practicing all the phases of war?
Yes. For example, we were practicing attacking Japanese defensive positions with the various weapons that we were going to use, like pole charges and special smoke charges. We were practicing a very great deal of movement by night. We were practicing having our mortars and guns firing very, very close to us, you know, we dug in, so we were practicing follow up. And there was a very, very great deal to learn.
Well, was there an emphasis within the syllabus on the offensive or on the defensive, or did you emphasize
it was offensive that we were already practicing. Yeah. I mean, the Kohima hadn't been thought of. The thought that we were going to get involved in this bloody awful battle never struck us, because we were, this was miles inland. We were an assault division. We were, you know, going to land on the coast and take something, whatever it was. We didn't know.
So the idea was still that you'd be used as part of an amphibious corps, and then you'd be moving.
Yes.
Into the attack.
Yes.
I think this stage, you say you were sick. You got some kind of malaria. Do you have any idea of how you got that?
Malaria?
Yes.
God knows. I mean, you know, when you're out in the jungle and okay, you're wearing this thick malaria cream and so on, there's always some nasty little mosquito that will get you.
Apart from that, were you generally healthy in
very.
India?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, were there other hazards to health besides the mosquito and the malaria that had to be...
Venereal disease, for example.
Was that prevalent?
Oh, certainly, yes. Oh, yes.
Did the army or the division have a policy concerning...
Oh, well, I mean, it had its policy. But I mean, boys are boys, and you know. But no, basically speaking, you see, once the atibrin and mefacrin pills were thought of, you had one every morning with your, you know, morning coffee. And what is more, an officer stood by to damn well see you took it, because the buzz got round the boys that there was something in it, you know, that repressed your sexuality. Typical lovely. I mean, it's as old soldiers' tales were going on down the centuries. And, you know, if you take it, you know, you want to watch out, boys, you know, frightful things will happen. Marvellous.
Did the use of mefacrine have any impact on the rate of infection with venereal disease?
Oh, it very much so. It absolutely turned the tide on it. Mm. The trouble was that you paid for it afterwards, because it's a suppressant rather than a cure.
So what does that mean? What does it do to you in the long run?
Well, you kept on getting it.
Ah. So it doesn't actually stop you getting malaria, it simply reduces the symptoms, is that the...?
It sort of reduces the symptoms, and the chances are that you're, you know, you'll be fit for action, yes. Yeah.
Well, you were saying that in your memoirs that when you were, after you'd been ill and you were sent off on convalescent leave, and you went and stayed with General Auchinleck.
For one night, yes, I did, yes.
What sort of man was he?
Wonderful chap. Terribly nice. Very quiet, great presence. What he didn't know about the Indian Army, I don't think anyone else knew. This was very sad. It was just about the time his wife was running off with the Air Vice Marshal. Jesse. They should never have probably got married, but never mind. But he was so nice. He was the sort of chap, I mean, everyone follows.
You said that when you came back, you were sent off to Ahmednagar, where there was a battle school being set up.
Well, that was really part of the whole training, yes, team, where one got down to the nuts and bolts of individual, and we trained up to company standards there. But we also had study periods for the head of 33 Corps.
Yeah. What sort of subjects were considered at those study periods?
Basically leadership. The techniques of, well, first of all, using wireless in the jungle. We didn't know much about that. It came as a nasty surprise to find that sets we thought were very powerful indeed, once they got in the jungle, not very good.
But was there anything you could do to enhance?
No.